Oh, we have such a good audience again on this Lord's Day evening, and I trust that you have received as much benefit from these good spiritual songs, and I appreciate the prayer that Brother Zimmer has offered on behalf of all of us, and how good it is that we are present. Well, if I tell you that our lesson is from Luke, the 10th chapter tonight, do you say already, well, Brother Tope, I know exactly what you're going to talk about. I know who you're going to talk about. And if you say yes, that this has to do with our Lord's account of the Good Samaritan, you are exactly right. The account begins, I guess we would say, in not a very happy way, because we find that there are those who are continuing to contend with the Lord Jesus himself. They not only are contending with the Lord, we find that they are testing him. They are tempting. They are contesting him. So taking up our reading in Luke 10 and verse 25, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So we're going to pause just for a moment before we go ahead and read again this very, very fine account of the Good Samaritan. What do you make of this fellow? Well, he's a lawyer. I don't know what you think about lawyers, but an expert in this case, an expert in the Old Testament law. He was one, we would say, that knew the law of Moses from beginning to end. He was one that would have been a very capable teacher of the law of Moses. He was not ignorant. Do you know, folks ask questions for a variety of reasons? Sometimes they ask a question that is a very good question. What should I do to inherit eternal life? Why, I could not think of a more important, vital question that anyone could ask. The man's heart is not right. It is not that he wanted to know the answer. He's testing. He is tempting the Lord. He is hoping that Jesus will say something, what? Well, maybe something contrary to the law of Moses, but at least he is, well, he's asking not because he really wants to know the answer. What does our Lord do in that case? I commend the way the Lord answered this man, because Jesus did not really give him the answer. He said, well, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? I think our King James Bible says, how do you read? Do you know that very frequently that should be the reply that we give people whenever they ask a question and you stop and you think about it and you say, this fellow really just wants to cause an argument. That person is not asking this question because they are seeking the answer. And what could be a better reply in a case like that than to just go ahead and do exactly what Jesus did? Say, well, how do you read the scripture? Do you know God's word is for everybody? God's word does not just apply to a few people. If you will, God's word does not apply to the church of Christ. Oh, it does apply to the church of Christ, but you know it applies to everybody. It applies to every single person on earth. It is not a matter that there are some folks out there that are exempt from giving the right answer, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Because, dear friends and brethren, whatever the Word of God says, why, that's what every single individual, every responsible person on earth has to do. It's not just a select few. What do you read? What does the Scripture say? That's the correct authority. And, oh, maybe the reply of the man might surprise some folks, but do you know he knew exactly what the goal, what the purpose of the entire law of Moses was? What is the great thing to be accomplished in following the law of Moses? Oh, to love the Lord your God with everything that you've got, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and attune to that, love your neighbor as yourself. And the fellow gave the right answer, didn't he? And so Jesus says to him, you have answered rightly. You've given the correct answer. Isn't it always good whenever you come up with the correct answer? We go to a class and maybe we take an examination, or maybe the teacher kind of puts us on the spot and we come up with the right answer. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, just because you have the right answer, that doesn't mean that you're always going to do what you have said. This man, then, has said, this is what you need to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus says you're exactly right. But now, look at verse 29. What's wrong with this lawyer? Well, he not only has set out to test the Son of God, but now he wants to justify himself. Have you talked with people like that? The answer that they are seeking in religion is something that is going to justify themselves. They're not really, really looking for something more that they have to do. This man willing to justify himself is going to continue to test our Lord. So he says, well, now you just tell me, who is my neighbor? And of course, that's when we come. Oh, a beautiful lesson, this Good Samaritan. An account that really is just not only full of meaning for us, but also there is just so much for us to learn. Who is my neighbor? So we read on. Verse 30 says, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of the three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Well, the account that Jesus gives, of course, is a very simple everyday account. Very probably each of us, before we have ever had this read again in our hearing, would have been able to have told almost exactly in order what happened, the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan, and what had happened to this poor man. Well, we simply say this concerning the man, that if ever there was somebody that was in need of a neighbor, he was. You look at what has happened to him. Through no fault of his own, he's fallen among thieves. And how do they treat him? They strip him of his clothing. Can you imagine that? They not only strip him of his clothing, but then they wound him how severely? Well, it wasn't just a little bit of a beating. They treat this man so pitifully that they leave him where he is nearly dead. When the scripture says concerning him that they leave him half dead, that means there's only another half before he's all dead. But you see, sometimes somebody asks you, "How you feeling?" And you say, "I'm half dead." Well, if you're in that bad a shape, buddy, you better get to the hospital, or you better have a good neighbor or something. This is a real emergency. This is a bad situation. And are you shocked at the attitude of the priest and the Levite? I am. Who's the priest? Oh, he's someone that serves at the temple. In this case, in their courses that they had arranged, set up, as we learn from the Gospel of John, there would be an occasion when this priest actually would be entering the temple, and he would be about the things of God's service that were so vital, that were so precious, that were so important in the observance of the law of Moses. The Levite, well, maybe a little lesser position, but nevertheless, these Levites, those of the family of Levi, they were, of course, the priestly tribe, but there were many of those who were servants around the temple. And so he too would have been involved in all of these important religious things. He had been dedicated to God as even the priest had. Well, what did they do? Well, both of these fellows, one at a time, both of them came by. Both of them looked over and they saw this man in the pitiful condition that he was in, stripped of his clothing, laying out there in the desert, beaten, wounded to the place. If somebody doesn't help this man, what's going to happen to him? He's going to die. And this priest, who has been dedicated to the service of God, folks, whenever they would see that priest, they would give him such honor. And this priest, what does he do? I don't know whether he kind of held his head up or turned away or what he did, but the scripture just says, Jesus just said, he passed by on the other side. He got right out of the way of that fella so he wouldn't have to look at him, so he wouldn't have to think about him. And you know that Levite did exactly the same thing. The Lord did not go into any great detail in telling us what went through the mind of those fellas. It's kind of left up to us. Did they, for instance, I'm trying to help them out all I can. Did they, for instance, say, well, those robbers, they may still be lurking in the neighborhood. If I take time out to help this fella, well, then that means that I could be attacked just like him. I don't know whether they thought that or not. Or did they say, I'm too busy? They might have, hey. You know, I'm on the road down to Jericho. I've got important church business. Well, I got important temple business anyway. And I've got to get right on down the road. I don't have time to mess with anybody. And I hope somebody helps him. Hope somebody stops. But you know, it can't be. Do you see what condition that fella is in? He's got blood all over him. If I stop, my priestly robes are probably going to get defiled. I'll have blood and dirt and all. Why, you know, I'd have to pick that fella up. He can't get up by himself. Why? I just don't have time. I don't know what all they were thinking. And of course, you know what happens now. A Samaritan, of all people. The Samaritans were outlaws. They were outlaws. John chapter 4, you know, the woman at the well, she asked Jesus, why are you talking to me? Because Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. Well, there were those Samaritans. They were a mixed race. They had a temple up there on Mount Gerizim. Their worship was corrupted. There's not much that we can really commend the Samaritans for as far as they're following the law of Moses. But you know, this fella has something about him that nobody else has. You know, this is one of the greatest lessons found in the Word of God that is against racial hatred. I just don't have any time at all. I'm not getting into politics, and I don't intend to. But I'll tell you, I've got no time in the world for racial prejudice. I've got no time in the world to say, because you're of a certain race or because you're from a certain part of the world, I don't want to worship with you. I don't want you in my car. I don't want you in my house. Oh, and this Samaritan, he just disregarded every bit of that. Where did it start? If you stop and ask yourself right now, what's the difference between the Samaritan and the priest and the Levite? What are you going to say? There's one word that is used that tells you. Compassion. Compassion. Do you know that's where it all starts, with this good neighbor policy? With you being able, with my being able, to learn the lessons about the Samaritan, you've got to have compassion. If you don't know what it is and you've never experienced it, I just feel sorry for you. You can be a churchgoer, you can be an elder, you can be a preacher, you can be a song leader, you can know the Word of God forward and backwards, and you can do everything that you want to do, and if you don't have compassion, well, you'll never, ever be able to imitate the Good Samaritan. You think about all he did. I guess he was in as big a hurry as the priest and the Levite. I wouldn't know why not. He started off on a journey. Evidently, he's got some business that he intends to take care of down there in Jericho. Otherwise, why was he traveling? But he sees this man, you look at that. A certain Samaritan, I'm at verse 33. As he journeyed, he came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. Not repulsion. No matter how badly wounded, no matter how terrible looking this man was, he saw him and he had compassion. He went to him. Immediately. There's no indication that there was a great hesitation. He did not say, I wonder if those thieves are still around. Maybe I better not look at this man. I'll go by on the other side. He stops immediately. He went to him and notice what he does. He bandages his wounds. You see, that's what compassion is having him to do. He pours in the oil and the wine, just very simple, everyday remedies that they would have had back then, and he uses what he has at hand, and then notice further. He takes this poor wounded man. And he sets him up on his own animal. And then he brings him to an inn. And he took care of him. How long did he take care of him? Well, it did not matter. Did not matter. But you see, time and effort. Now he's going to do something else, I think, that is really outstanding. It says the next day. Maybe he stayed up all night taking care of that poor fellow. But on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. You know, we have an awful lot of trouble with this foreign money. You may read in one translation, he took out 2 pence. And you say, wow, a big spender. A denarii. The average working man, we are told, earned 1 denarii a day. You can do the math. I'm not going to ask you individually. This represented 2 days' wages. If you can do the math, how much do you earn in a day? You probably sat down and figured it out at one time or another. Would you be willing to take 1/3 of your week's salary? Maybe a little bit more. 1/3 of your week's salary and spend it on somebody you'd never ever met before. He didn't know, what is the phrase, I didn't know him from Adam? He didn't know this wounded man from Adam. Had never, ever, ever met him. Was the man that was wounded a good man? He didn't know. He didn't know anything about him. He knew that he needed help. He was filled with compassion. He's already spent a good part of his day taking care of the fellow, maybe into the night, and now then the next day. He does not wash his hand of it and say, well, I've done everything I can do. But instead, he comes to the innkeeper. He says, I want to give you some money. I want to give you 2 days' pay. And I'd like to ask you, if you will, you take care of him, and I'm going to be coming back. I'm sure that innkeeper could see the compassion that this Samaritan had exercised. There was no doubt in his mind whenever the Samaritan said, I'll be coming back this way. That's exactly what he knew he would do. And he says, if I owe more, if you spend more in taking care of this complete stranger to me, he said, I'll repay you. I'll tell you, you talk about going the second mile. Boy, this fella's doing more than that, isn't he? All right. What lessons have you learned? Well, let me list some things that I believe every one of us ought to learn from the Good Samaritan. Starting off, who is my neighbor? What's your answer? You should be saying, every man. Every person is my neighbor. Not just the folks next door. Oh, I know how busy we are here in present day America. I know how everybody's scurrying around. Boy, I slowed down the other day and the person got so mad at me they were honking their horn. They could hardly stand it that I was traveling 45 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. Get out of the way! All right. But the truth of the matter is, every person, every man, woman and child, they're my neighbor. Strangers. People that I meet whenever I go shopping. People at the mall. People out there on the road. Whoever it may be, every person Now, you and I, we've been trying to tell people about this next point for years, and we've had a hard time getting it across to them. But you know, there's something else that the Samaritan teaches us. The true religion of Jesus Christ is a religion of doing. It's an activity. It is not something that is confined to a building. It is not something that is confined to certain hours on a certain day. Every man is my neighbor, and Christianity is a religion of doing. And then there is something else that I believe so many people have overlooked. Do you realize where the emphasis is placed here by our Lord? The emphasis is placed on the individual. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, I've heard some Christians say, I just don't have anything to do. I wish there was something for me to do. I wish the church would go ahead and get busy and organize something for me to do. Why? You got it all wrong. That's not the way to look at who is my neighbor. I'll tell you what. You, all alone, you can make a difference in this world. You don't need anybody else. You can make a difference. You can make a difference tomorrow, if you will. If you've got the attitude of this Samaritan, do you know what? You're going to turn the world upside down all by yourself. Oh, we remember these blessed words of our Lord. You're the light of the world. And you are that. But individually, that's what we are. I just think that whenever we wake up on a Monday morning and we look out and we don't like the weather and we say, oh, this is going to be such a terrible day, I think we need to give ourselves a good shaking and a good talking to. Why don't you and I just wake up on Monday morning and say, I wonder what good I can do today. Who is there out there that I'm going to be able to help? Forget myself. Forget my aches and pains, and they may be real. Forget my little world and reach out and make a difference. What's it going to cost you? Well, it's going to cost you a whole lot. It's going to cost you a whole lot. Maybe that's why some of us have never imitated the Samaritan. It's going to cost you time, just like it did this Samaritan. It cost him a lot of time. It railroaded everything that he had in mind. He had to forget his schedule. He had to forget whatever plans he had. They were all changed around. And if you imitate him, it's going to take your time. You may not get accomplished tomorrow what you intended to accomplish. You'll have to get your hands dirty, because it's going to take effort. You can't look at that wounded man by the side of the road and just say, boy, buddy, you're in bad shape, aren't you? You got to do something. It's going to take effort. be baptized to have your sins washed away. Won't you come?